Blog Talk Radio.
So I was glad to, Paul, you talked a little bit about prepared hearts, because I would like to continue on that a little bit here. If we can turn to Acts chapter 11. There was a little phrase I've heard quite often, and I thought, oh, what does that phrase really mean? It usually comes like this. Let's turn to chapter 11 of Acts, if you will. Well, what's this "if you will" part? You know, that gives you a choice. Okay, Acts chapter 11. And I just want to read verses 20 to 24. We're really breaking in on a section, but it'll say what we want us to say. Okay, verse 20, Acts chapter 11, verse 20 says, "But there were some of them," okay, let me, before I continue reading, what has, okay, Stephen has been martyred, and a great persecution broke out after that, and people started scattering here, there, and elsewhere, and here are some of those people who scattered. It says, some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene. Remember, Simeon, the man who carried the cross, was from Cyrene. I bet he has a story to tell, and I believe he told it. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who, when they were come to Antioch, spoke unto the Greeks also, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number that believed turned to the Lord. And the report concerning them came to the ears of the church which was at Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas as far as Antioch, who, when he was come and had seen the grace of God, was glad. And he exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, and full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. So, let's think about preparation. How important is preparation? And how do you prepare? I mean, if you want to go on a trip, what do you have to do? Do you just say, okay, kids, get in the car, we're going to Mexico? You probably made some plans. There's some preparation. You have to decide where you're going. You got to make sure that the tires on the car are in good order. There's packing to do. There's all these sort of things. Preparing. What about getting ready for a day? There's some preparation, isn't it? So, you know, there's more to getting ready for a day than getting up. Even simple things. Things are talking about morning, you know, making the coffee. Well, you gotta get some water, you gotta get the grounds and stuff. I mean, there's preparation, everything. I visited with a person once who worked at a diner, and he said, I just do prep. Like, that's a nothing. If there's no prep, there's no meal. And I think we sometimes forget how important preparations might be. Preparation means readiness, doesn't it? And do you remember Jesus made that statement? Be ye ready. Be ready. You know, throughout the early church, the preaching topic was always the same, and it was always Jesus. Read the book of Acts. They went everywhere preaching Jesus. They didn't preach stuff about Jesus. They preached Jesus. It was just Jesus. No gimmicks, no gizmos. The simple preaching of the Lord Jesus. You see that here in this scripture we just read. Here are non-Jews. And they're going to a non-Jewish community. And what is their topic? Jesus. Paul, after meeting the Lord on the way into Damascus, and he began to preach, and what did he preach? His big testimony? He preached Jesus. It must be the same in our time. That our topic is always Jesus. I heard this preacher talking about church growth. And his push was that we have to make Jesus attractive. What nonsense. What absolutely sheer, utter, stupid nonsense. We have to make Jesus attractive. He already is attractive. He's been attractive for centuries. He was very attractive in Antioch. As he was preached, did you notice it says that a great number turned to the Lord? Did you notice it didn't say they joined the church? They turned to the Lord. And later on in that, the last verse we read in verse 24, it says, and much people was added to the church. No, to the Lord. Much people was added to the Lord. So Jesus is attractive. Let us just allow him to be manifest in us, just as he is. So, he attracted many in Antioch. In fact, so many of these Greeks or Gentiles had turned to the Lord that word trickled back down to Jerusalem, which is a totally Jewish community. And they needed to find out what's going on. So they, in God's great wisdom, they sent Barnabas, not some critic. And Barnabas arrived, and what happened? Did he straighten him out? He sure did. It says, as he observed and saw the grace of God, he challenged them. He exhorted them to continue with steadfastness of heart, with prepared hearts, with hearts that are ready to serve and love the living God. If they thought he was going there to straighten them out, they'd be pretty disappointed, because he was just there to challenge them to keep going on. It says, with purpose of heart, with a heart that's prepared, a heart that's ready. And he says that they should cleave unto the Lord. That's an interesting word, cleave. And if we put it down to kind of common terms, it means to hang on for dear life. A heart that's prepared is realizing we have nothing but the Lord Jesus. I wanted to share with you a few examples in the scriptures of hearts that are prepared. I have kind of two favorites, two number ones. One is very positive, one is very negative. We'll do the positive first. And it's about Ezra. And we read about Ezra in chapter 7 and verse 9. Well, I'll read it, although this is one of the verses I do know, actually. It says, for Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the word of the Lord and to do it and to teach it. Prepared his heart. He didn't just open the Bible and jump in and say, well, let's see what's here today. His heart was prepared, and that prepared heart led him to whatever scripture God wanted to make real in his life. But I think it's very significant to see an order, isn't it? He first of all prepared his heart to seek. It doesn't say he seeked or sought. He prepared his heart to seek. And then when he gained knowledge of the Word of God? It says he wanted to teach it. But there was an intermediate step between finding it and teaching it, and that is practicing it, doing it. Not just learning and say, oh, very interesting, and then just lay it on folks. First, he experienced what that word had to say. I think it's a good order for all of us, isn't it? To prepare our hearts, to seek the word of the Lord, to put it into practice, to act it out, to live it. Then you have authority with which to proclaim that word. Another person that we read of is in 2 Chronicles, and it's in chapter 20. And it's about the king Jehoshaphat. And it says that he had heard some kind of bad news about an invasion. And so it says, since he feared the Lord, I got to find the right page here, since he feared the Lord, he prepared his heart to seek the Lord. Prepared his heart to seek the Lord. And then he proclaimed a fast. You know, there he was, preparing his own heart. Like you were talking about, hearts that are prepared. When the heart is prepared, then what comes next is pretty simple. And his preparation of heart was for him to seek the Lord. So it means a heart that's fixed, it's purposed, it's prepared. In Psalm 57, David gives this testimony, saying, my heart is fixed, O Lord. My heart is fixed. It's settled. It's prepared, ready to roll. And he repeats that testimony in Psalm 108. My heart is fixed. Then, here's my bad first choice. Rehoboam. In Rehoboam, in chapter 12 of 2 Chronicles, we learn this. It says, it came to pass when the kingdom of Rehoboam was established and he was strong, that he abandoned the word of the Lord and all Israel with him. He abandoned the word of the Lord. Some versions use the word forsook. He abandoned the word of the Lord. He decided, I can handle this. And then, here's the testimony of his whole reign. Also still in chapter 12 and verse 14. And it says, and he did that which was evil. That word did means he worked. He worked evil. Both naturally and morally, he worked evil because. And what follows because? Because he did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. He did not prepare. Rehoboam messed up the kingdom. His failure was due to one thing and one thing only. He failed to prepare his heart to seek God. So I want us to grasp this, that heart preparation is pretty important. Not only pretty important, it's essential. And to fail to prepare our hearts is what causes us to lose Christ Jesus as our focus. As we read there in Acts, it's just an evidence that the early church had one focus, and it was Jesus. It was the Lord Jesus Christ. That is their focus. There can only be one focus for the church today, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. There are no alternatives. Only Jesus. And last week we mentioned that the one thing that probably gets us off focus of the Lord Jesus are things. Generally, good things. Good things like prayer, like worship, like evangelism, like missions. All very good. But they are very capable of shifting our focus off Jesus onto evangelism or onto prayer. But see, if our focus remains on Jesus, prayer, evangelism, missions, all will be covered. But the reverse is not true. That is never true. If our focus stays on Jesus, then all these other things will be in right perspective. The lack of heart preparation leads to a major difficulty, and that is an inability to stand on our own two feet in God. We read about David more than once, but in 1 Samuel 30, verse 6, it says very plainly, David strengthened himself in God. Now, this is not talking about being a hermit, but it's talking about the ability to stand alone against odds that come our way. And they come. But when our focus is on the Lord Jesus, we learn two wonderful truths. We learn to stand alone. And we learn to lean on Jesus. That's the only way we can stand alone. That's why I keep harping on this thing of Jesus has to be our focus. And nothing else. Psalm 112 in verse 7 instructs us that when our heart is prepared, when our heart is fixed and our heart is established, and the word that's used there means to be prepared, to set, to be settled, and that to be established means to lean on something solid, a solid support, which is Jesus. And it says, if we do this, we will not be afraid of bad news. Jehoshaphat learned that the bad news did not upset him. And why? Because when our focus is on Jesus, our confidence is solely in the Lord. Prepared hearts that are prepared. When your hearts are prepared, you can take the kingdom. If your heart is not prepared, you screw up the kingdom. So all this talk about preparedness, I suppose, is fine, but how does it happen? How does preparedness happen? In the natural, I think we can figure it out pretty easily. But as I was looking about seeking and preparing and seeking, three scriptures came very strongly forward. The first is in Psalm 40. I'll just read you these because they're important. Well, all the words are important, but okay. Psalm 40 and verses 16 to 17 say this: let all those that seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let such as love your salvation say continually, let the Lord be magnified, for I am poor and needy, and yet the Lord thinks upon me. You are my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. Poor and needy. Humility is an essential mark of a prepared heart. In humility, our hearts are prepared. And because it talks about poor and needy, those words simply mean to be destitute. To be destitute and in want. Destitute and in want. But see, we don't like those words, do we? To be destitute and in want. For such a one, the Lord himself, it says, he comes through. He thinks upon you. He prepares and he plans the purposes of the heart because he is the sole source of life. Wasn't that what Jesus taught us in the Beatitudes? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Sometimes I see Christians have a hard time with humility because, oh, we think we're so mature in God. You know, about the time you think you're mature, that's the best evidence that you're not. I'm sure you all know that old story about the man who was given a gold pin because he had never missed a Sunday in 40 years of Sunday school, and that he was the most humble man around. The next Sunday, they took the pin away from him because he wore it. Well, that's kind of how we are sometimes, isn't it? Humility. Sometimes it's hard, isn't it? In ourselves to say, I don't have it all together. And in our being destitute and in our want, we are blessed by the Lord, the poor, in spirit, because he becomes then the sole source for our life. So humility is an essential aspect. The second I read in Psalm 105 has to do with rejoicing. There has to be a rejoicing. And all of this really goes along with the Beatitudes and blessed, to be rejoicing, to be glad, to be joyous. It says, glory in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Rejoicing. There's a rejoicing to glory in the name of the Lord. We read, don't we, in the script, in the Proverbs, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runs into it and are saved. Rejoicing. Glorying in the name of the Lord, not in our own prowess. And then seek the Lord. And it goes on to say, even the face of the Lord. And then live in the strength that the Lord gives. Preparing the heart in humility, in rejoicing. And Jeremiah gives us this advice about seeking God in chapter 29. Says, and you shall seek me, and you shall find me. When? When what? When you seek me with your whole heart. When you seek me with your whole heart. Wholeheartedness. It's putting your whole being into seeking the Lord. No room for half-heartedness. No room for occasional wholeheartedness, you know, when you're in a fix. But it's to be constant, consistent, And how can it really be? How can it really be otherwise? So the Lord makes a promise. You will seek me and will find me when you seek me with your whole heart. See, we're still back on the destitute. We're still back on the poor and needy part because we realize we have no hope apart from the Lord. And you know, when we begin to have a heart that's prepared to seek the Lord, it's the best way to lose track of ourselves. Because then my emphasis is not on me, but it's upon God. And I believe that God is seeking to bring us into that place in Him that He is Lord, that He is worthy, even if He never, ever, ever once again gives you even a teeny little blessing. He is Lord. He is Lord. Period. That's what a prepared heart will allow. That Jesus is Lord without mentioning yourself. And then perhaps all of this can be maybe summarized in one of those familiar verses that we probably all have memorized. That's Matthew 6:33. And what counsel are we given? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these other things, they'll be added to you. But you know, far too many spend most of our effort on all these other things. And once we get that all straightened out, then we'll seek God. It never works. Putting Jesus first is all that really works. Having Him in clear view. Having Him in clear focus. So I see people like Ezra. I see people like Jehoshaphat who set their hearts, prepared their hearts to seek God. They were in readiness. And when they saw God, they were in awe. And then on the other extreme is people like Rehoboam, who can handle it on their own. Of course, they don't want God to get too far away because there may be that off chance they might need Him. So they don't want Him too far. But I remember the Lord says if we are not willing to seek Him when things are good in a time of calamity, He will not listen. Don't take chances like that. Putting Jesus first. Not ministry. Nothing. Just Jesus first. So, let me wrap this all up. See, it's essential. It's essential to living Christian to seek God above all else. Essential to seek God above all else. And it is essential in seeking God to have a prepared heart. It's not on a whim, not occasionally, but the regular, fervent quest after God. That's the word that is used there in Jeremiah, that is seeking is like, man, this is a life and death matter. Seeking God and finding Him. When we search for Him with our whole heart. See, with partial heart, yeah, I want to seek God, but you know, I can kind of hang on to, I got this part under control. Have you ever noticed how wonderful things are that you hold in control? Sooner or later, it falls apart. But not when our life is one of preparedness and of seeking and of living and of walking of God. See, this kind of fervent quest for God . This kind of tenacity is what will keep Jesus ever in focus. That's what keeps Jesus first. That's what keeps him in the center. And that's what keeps our life on track. A prepared heart, seeking God, relying on him, depending on him. I guess I've said this before, you know, Jesus is not the STP to make you run a little better. He's the engine. Seek him. But before you seek, let your heart be prepared. Let your heart be prepared in humility, in rejoicing, with wholeheartedness. Seeking the Lord. That's all. Seeking God. There's nothing more we really need to do, is it? Just be ever seeking God. Keeping Jesus the center. Keeping him the focus. So I want to end up today like we did last week. It's okay to do the same song 2 weeks in a row. If it isn't, it will be anyway. It's number 382. 382.
Thank you.
you will fill all our vision, that you are all that we see, you're all that we need. And we are destitute, we are dependent upon you.